Well, truly, we need the Lord to come and revive His church and His work in this day. And so thank you, choir, for sharing that with us this Sunday before revival. And I hope the Lord is already beginning to stir our heart and mind in preparation for upcoming revival, and we're going to share with you about that in just a few moments. But we did need to remind that we need to meet with the elders for just a few moments right after the service there in my office. We would appreciate that. And also with the upcoming revival, next Sunday evening, now revival starts Sunday morning, but next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, we want to invite the church out to join us in a fellowship dinner at 5 o'clock, and then be able to move from dinner to revival, and so you can sleep through Gary's message. Well, hopefully we won't do that, but we do want to have a pitch-in dinner next Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, as we just fellowship. Revival is about fellowship as well, and so we want to just have some time to fellowship together, 5 o'clock next Sunday evening, and then move into revival services at 6. And so we want you all to be part of that next Sunday evening. And I know Dean mentioned the miniature golf or putt-putt, depends on how sophisticated you are. If you're really sophisticated, it's miniature golf. For the rest of us, it's putt-putt. For those who come and participate, and we want everybody to come and do that, that can, there is going to be a gift card for the person that gets the lowest score while you're putt-putting. So there's going to be, there's going to be some competition going on there. And then, I don't know if you've seen or not, but some of those miniature golf putt-putt competitions, they come well dressed. And so there's also going to be a gift card for the best dressed miniature golfer. So, get your thinking caps out and let's have a good evening as a church and also supporting our church family. And I just think we can have a lot of fun. It's a good opportunity to invite others, friends and family, to come and just have a good evening. And so that is 5 o'clock next Saturday evening, September 30th. And so, come ready to play and dressed well. All right. As we begin to think about revival, I think it's important that preparations be made. And so I want us to begin to think about that. In fact, have you ever wondered what we need as a church? I think about that a lot. And if you have, and I hope that you have, and if not, we probably should. I would imagine the list could be rather lengthy, and there would be things from spiritual things to physical needs for the building, what we need for the church. Yet one thing I believe really stands out, not just for our church, but for every church and for our nation and for our world, and that is this thing that we refer to as revival. We need, our community needs, our country needs revival. This concept of returning to God. Often when we think about revival, it's kind of dates on a calendar, and we typically, as we look at the church calendar every year, sometime in fall, September, first part of October, we try to schedule revival. You can't really schedule revival, but we try to anyway, but we set aside some time for us to be able to focus on the Lord. And the truth is, we need ongoing revival, not just a Sunday morning and 3 days, then the following week. And revival isn't necessarily about a series of dates in the week, but this connecting with the Lord, this ongoing move of the work of the Lord, and every church needs that. We need a renewing, if I could say, of the work of God, not only in our church, but in our life. our community, our country. Am I saying we're not as spiritual as we used to be? No, but that might be true. Is our country as spiritual as it used to be? No, and that's true. And so the fact is, we need revival. We might even ponder why. Why do we need this? Because when it comes to revival, revival is renews and it refreshes the heart, the mind, the spirit, the body of the believer, equipping us for the work of the kingdom. Revival is important, not only to the church, but to the life of the believer. It's really a must. Because what happens is we often misunderstand this concept of revival. We often think of it as an evangelistic meeting. We're going to have several church services and we're going to invite the unsaved so that they get an opportunity to get saved. Well, that's really not what revival is about. Now, if somebody comes and gets saved, praise the Lord. We want that to happen. We desire that to happen, in fact. But the truth is, when we talk about revival, revival is for the church. It's for the body of Christ. It's for the believer to take some time and refocus on God. Because unfortunately, it's really easy to get distracted. Have you forgot something this week? I mean, if we were all honest, we'd probably all raise our hand and say, yeah, there's something I should have done this week that I didn't do. Or I wanted to do and it escaped me. That happened, especially as some of us get a little wiser. sometimes those things escape from us. That happens to us spiritually too. We get busy. I don't know if you've noticed, but life is busy. When in the world did life get so busy? But it is. We got to be here and we got to be there and we got to do this and we got to pick that up and we got to pick the kids up. Did we pick the kids up or did we leave them at the library? I'm not sure. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And sometimes that week unfolds and by the end of the week we fall in bed. And it dawns on us, we've done absolutely nothing spiritual. You can say amen and shake your head. You've been there, or maybe you're doing that. Because life is busy. Revival is the ideal of taking some time and focusing on the Lord and allowing Him to renew His work in us. Well, that's exactly the prayer of Habakkuk in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And that's where I want to draw our attention this morning as we prepare for revival. And so let's take our Bibles, if you would, and let's turn over to Habakkuk chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 this morning. And we're going to see the heart, if you would, of the prophet Habakkuk. Appreciate if you'd stand for the reading of the word this morning. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord shares with us a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Signoth. Here's the prayer. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. Selah, His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Join us this morning in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you've given to us, this opportunity to gather together as a body of Christ, the anticipation this morning of revival coming, and Lord, how we long, or I hope that we long this morning for a move of the Holy Spirit to be renewed and refreshed and revived. And so, Lord, I ask this morning as we come to your word that something that you've laid on our heart to be said will stir us and move us, Lord, to this place where we're seeking you and seeking renewal and seeking for revival to come, not just to our church, but to each and every one of us personally and into our community and into our county and our state and into our country. Lord, we just ask that you would come. We have the, if I could this morning, Lord, the heart of Habakkuk and asking you to come and revive your work. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that you would just move on your people in a very powerful way this morning. We ask that you would allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the preaching of the word. Lord, if we stand in need of anything today, it is you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just move in us in a powerful way. In your name we pray. And amen. You may be seated this morning. We can see here in this short passage of scripture from the prophet Habakkuk that he cries out to the Lord. He's seen, if you would, the condition of Israel. And his heart breaks for Israel. And he simply prays. Well, he says, and I want us to note, I've heard your speech and I was afraid. You know anything about the prophets, the Lord often shared with the prophets about if my people don't come back to me, this is what's going to unfold. And Habakkuk says, I've heard your speech. I know what's about to happen, and I'm afraid. He wasn't necessarily just afraid for himself, but he was afraid for the nation of Israel. And this is his prayer. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. He also prays that the Lord would remember to be merciful to his people. And so we have this prayer this morning from the prophet Habakkuk to remember or to revive your work. And truthfully this morning, I hope that's our heart and that's our prayer, that the Lord would come and revive his work. His work in our heart, his work in our church, his work in our community. I really hope this morning that we are a bit like Habakkuk and we're looking around our community and our county and our state and our country, and we're seeing what's going on and we're saying, oh Lord, come and revive your work. I want us to know this morning that reviving of the work of the Lord needs to begin in the heart of the body of Christ. That's you and I. I hope that our upcoming revival are not just dates on the calendar, but opportunity to seek God and experience renewal and refreshment, to step away from the busyness of the world and into the mercies of God. But what I do know is Sunday's going to come quickly. Gary and Robert are going to be here. And those 4 days are going to vanish before we know it. It's almost October. Just last week, we was hoping it would warm up. And now it's October. I hope that we don't let this opportunity, this moment, escape us to seek renewal, a reviving of the work of the Lord in our heart, in our church, in our community, in our county, in our state. And so as I thought about that, and I wanted to share with you this morning about what I've entitled them conditions. Sometimes we need to meet a certain condition for something to happen. We go to the doctor and we need to have surgery or something. They say, well, you need to do this, this, and this before we can have surgery. It's a condition. We have to be in a certain condition to be able to do whatever it is. And so as I look at God's word, when we see God move, when we see His work revived, people moved and people renewed and refreshed and God pouring Himself out on whatever the scenario is, there was some conditions that seemed to be needed to be met for that to happen. And so I want to share several of them with you this morning. There are seven of them. I will do my best not to take a long time to share those seven with you, but we will quickly move through them and just share with you about some conditions for revival, conditions for renewal. And what we find is when you look at these things, that these often surround the move of God. Now, I'm not saying that these are the only things, but these are some of the things that we discover stir or move the heart of God to be involved in the renewing of His people and of His church. And so let's look at them this morning if we could. And the first one I want to share with you is this concept of evangelism or ministry. We know what ministry is, at least I hope that we do. Ministry is that work that we do for the kingdom that touches the lives of others. We often refer to it as evangelism, where we're touching the lives of others, sharing with them in some form or fashion about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when that's happening, when God's people are touching the lives of others, God moves and God works. In fact, you know this scripture probably by heart. I've shared it with you I don't know how many times. In fact, Eric shared a little bit of it with us and our men's fish fry, which was great Friday night. And so some of you men, if you wasn't able to be there, you missed a great evening. But you're familiar with this passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 21. Share with us, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We refer to that passage of Scripture as the Great Commission. It's the challenge to the body of Christ, to the church, to evangelize the world, starting right here in our own community, to share the gospel, to minister Christ to others. And even in the year of 2023, won't be long, we'll be in 2024, we still have a call to ministry. The body of Christ is still called to share the gospel. The church is still to be the church. And when the church is the church, God moves. And so if we want revival, and I certainly hope that we do, that we'll meet this condition and we will continue to be involved in ministry, in evangelism, concerned about the unsaved and the hurting and the helpless. Ministry. Ministry is a condition for revival. What we'll also discover surrounding the move of God is this thing about God's people and God's people having a tremendous sense of humility. God is able to move greatly in the heart and mind of people who humble themselves. I don't know if you've noticed in our culture, in our society, there are a lot of overly convinced people. We might refer to them as proud or showy or arrogant. Have you ever tried to work with an arrogant, proud, overly arrogant, proud person? That is the most frustrating thing in the world. It almost makes a Christian want to punch somebody right in the nose? I mean, is that frustrating at times? God can't use people like that. And I'm going to say this, and this might hurt. If that's us, God can't use us. Now, there's nothing wrong with a bit of good, godly self-esteem. And there's nothing wrong being confident in the work of God that God is doing in you. But remember, that confidence is in God, not us. If we want to experience revival, there has to be this sense of humility. A very famous passage of Scripture from 2 Chronicles, and you probably know it well, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, that's us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is probably one of the most powerful passages in all of the Old Testament. But there's a lot of ifs. The passage starts, if my people. And so apparently sometimes his people don't. Sometimes his people don't. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll find that often they did not. And so the statement is probably true of us. If we humble ourselves, pray, seek God. And then there's this condition. And we're going to talk more about it in a moment. He says, turn from their wicked ways. I got to pause here for a moment. Did you catch that? If my people. We're in agreement that this verse is about God's people, right? What it says. Everybody shake your head. I'm going to get you in a trap here in a minute. If my people will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. And, here's the tough part, turn from their wicked ways. I already know what you're thinking. There's no wicked ways in me. God said that, I didn't. If my people, you mean godly people, do bad things? Apparently. I'm going to ask, you don't have to answer. Have you ever did bad things as a believer? Said something, done something, look back and say, oh, I wish I'd have never done that. Come on, you don't tell me you've not been there, because you have. Wish I'd have never said that. Wish I'd have never thought that. The Lord says, if my people will humble themselves and do these things, I wish I could stay at this passage all morning, but we can't, then I'll come. There's a condition. I'm telling you, for revival, I don't mean revivals as we know it as several services on the calendar, but I'm talking about renewing of the work of God. God coming and moving in us. God coming and moving in our church. God coming and moving in our community. Moving in our county and in our state. There are some conditions. I'm going to say this carefully. Sometimes we live like heathens and want God to bless us as priests. Doesn't work that way. We cannot have revival apart from God moving in us. That requires humility on our part. The next condition we find this morning is something I talk a lot about. In fact, one of the small groups is about this, and it's about prayer. In fact, every first Sunday, we have prayer and worship service where we spend time talking about prayer and spending time in prayer. A condition for revival, a condition to see God move and renew and refresh His people is this thing of prayer. Prayer is an absolute necessity in the life of the believer. You know that. I've talked about prayer being that opportunity to communicate with God. Without prayer, there really isn't a good relationship. Prayer is about communication. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And this is what I want to... all that stuff with others is important, but catch this. You know this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we want things to change, we want God or desire God to move. We want to see God touch the lives of others and people healed and people saved and the church refreshed and renewed and on fire for God. It's going to come back to this thing of prayer. Because it's prayer that changes things. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. It's what moves God. In fact, the scripture says you have not because you ask not. What have we been asking for lately? Have you been asking for anything? Often, forgive me, often when we pray, we ask for certain things, and that's okay. But have we been asking for renewal? Have we been asking for God to bring people into ministry? To see souls saved? To see the church effective and growing and moving? I hope so. Because prayer changes things. I was thinking of it like this. If you knew somebody who could change whatever it was, and you knew they could, and all you had to do was ask, would you ask? I would hope so. I would think we would. They have the power, the authority, the resources to do whatever it is we need done. And it won't cost us a physical dime. Would we ask? We're shaking our heads. Then why don't we? Why don't we? There isn't anything that God cannot do. There's some things that God chooses not to do because it's not necessarily in the best interest of His people and His church. Prayer changes things. Are we asking? Are we praying fervently in regard to revival, to renewal, to the work of God at Dover Hill? And I'm really going on a limb today. Just don't saw it off yet. Maybe we're not praying because we're not involved. Oh, church, we need to be in prayer. Praying for God to renew His work. I'm pretty sure it's not just me, but have you noticed things are different? You're being cautious now. You're not going to walk into that trap so easily. If you just look around in church, in the community, in the world, things are different. The call to ministry is still very avid and real. But prayer is the petition to the ear of God. We want revival. We need to meet the condition of prayer. Another condition we find in Scripture when we see the move of God or the renewing of God is this concept of a broken heart. Psalm 51:17, and this is David, shares with us, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. When God's people become broken about or over something, God moves. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the broken heart this morning because our boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with us or that type of thing, or we didn't get the loan for the new pickup truck. There's different types of broken heart or whatever that scenario might be. I'm talking about when we're seriously broken because of a circumstance in someone else's life or our life. God takes that very seriously. And so I would simply ask this morning, what's breaking your heart? Anything? As God's church, as the body of Christ, are we broken about anything? Are we concerned about anything that's unfolding or happening in our community, in our family? Are we concerned about those that are unsaved, headed to hell? Are we broken? Does our heart ache? At times, do we get sick to our stomach about situations that we can't control? Often we see that and we say, oh, that's so unfortunate. For God to renew His work in us, in the body of Christ, in the church, there needs to be a brokenness for the things of God, and for the lost, and for the hurting. Well, we find another condition that Scripture shares with us when we see God move. And that is confession. We always like that word, right? It's almost next to discipline. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 shares with us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With this concept of confession, it is the ideal of sharing with the Lord and maybe with somebody you trust things that are happening in your life. We mentioned to you back there just a little bit ago, does God's people at times do wrong things? Yeah, they do. The Lord says if you confess that, He is faithful to forgive it. And so confession is good. Scripture tells us that confession is good for the soul. I think it goes beyond that. When we're talking about this condition for revival, I think it has a bit to do with our acknowledgement of our need for God. I want to step away for just a minute from the sin part. If we've sinned, I want you to know that God, we can confess our sin to God and He will forgive us. But I think there's moments in the life of the believer that we need to acknowledge we need God. For some reason, we have this concept that we can do ministry, we can do life, we can do family, we can do work, all on our own. Something happens, I got this. One of my favorite sayings when I was a small child was, I can do this. Didn't want anybody else's help. I can do this. And sometimes as believers, I think we tell God, I got this, I can do this. And then it falls apart. Everything goes wrong, and we say, how did I end up here? We often end up there because we're doing it our way. I think if we're going to really, truly experience renewal in the body of Christ, in the church, we need to once again acknowledge maybe our sin or our need for God. The truth is, church, we can't do this apart from Him and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. If He doesn't provide breath in the morning, we won't get out of bed. I think there needs to be an acknowledgement of our need for God. And I need to hurry on. The sixth thing that we discover in Scripture, condition, where we see God move and bring a sense of renewal, is when God's people turn from sin and the ways of the world. That kind of follows right along that confession concept. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The truth is, all of humanity struggles with will. My will, God's will. Too often, we do things our way instead of God's way. James says, to know to do right and not do it, to him it becomes sin. There's right ways and wrong ways to do everything. And then there's our way and God's way to do everything. And too often we'll find ourselves doing it our way. That's just humanity. That's what we do. How do I know we do that? How many of us read the instructions when we begin to assemble something? Come on now. What's in our mind? I got this. Every now and then I think that's how God came up with the platypus. Leftover parts. If we really want to experience renewal, we need to do it God's way. And I'll tell you, God's way is so much better. And the result is so much better. And the seventh thing I want to consider with to share with you this morning on conditions for God's renewal is this concept of surrender. Now, when we talk about surrender in perspective of God, we're talking about complete surrender. We often struggle with this because we don't honestly want to surrender to anybody. And we don't want somebody else telling us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. We don't want to be vulnerable to somebody else. We don't want them to know or see or hear some of the things that unfortunately has happened or unfolded in our life at any point. We don't want to surrender. Surrender, when we surrender, that means somebody has power over us, authority over us. And we talk about complete surrender, that means that we're not in control of anything anymore. Man, we struggle with that. We really want to see the renewing of God and His work in our day, in our church. There has to be this sense of complete surrender. Because if not, we'll struggle with all the other things I shared with you this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 shares with us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My, there's so much in that verse, that'd take us a week to unpack. But what it's about is surrender. Living sacrifice. When we talk about a sacrifice in Scripture, in the church world, Old Testament, a lamb, typically, spotless lamb, would come. Best way to say it is they'd kill it. It was sacrificed. Its life was taken from it for the Lord. Completely surrendered. Laid its life down for. I'm so glad that in Romans it says living sacrifice. God does not want to kill us or harm us or hurt us. God isn't in the business of us not wanting to be able to have fun and laugh and do fun things and go places and experience life and all that stuff. He doesn't want to suck the life out of us. I think it's so disturbing when people begin to think about Christian living and going to church that it's a burden. And that it's so difficult to, oh man, I gotta go to church this morning. It's not true. That's where we find life. But to be a living sacrifice is to actually surrender our lives to the Lord. And so it's simply the concept of whatever you want, Lord. Can we say that together? Whatever you want, Lord. I hope we take that seriously. Because here's what I know. What God has in store for us is more than we can even begin to think or imagine. Sometimes in the life of believers, we don't just settle for second best. It's third or fourth because it's our concept of what our life should be instead of what God's concept of our life would be. Now, does that mean we're never going to face trial and struggle and hurt and all that stuff? No. We live in a fallen world. But even in a broken, fallen world, God's got good things for us when we simply say, Lord, I am yours. And any place you see that in Scripture, God moves in the heart of those people and does some incredibly amazing things. Conditions, if you would say, for God to renew and stir and move. Well, truth is, ultimately, what causes a revival is the moving and working of God. However, as we see in Scripture, it helps if we are in the right place at the right time. I believe it's important for us at Dover Hill to position ourselves where God can come and renew us. Because this is the other thing I found out. If we don't want God to come for revival and renew us, guess what? He won't. You're absolutely right. He won't. That's something to ponder. But if we do, So the question before us this morning is, do we want revival? Do we want to see the work of God renewed in this day? I'm going to make it more personal. Do we want to see God's work renewed in the church? I hope that we do. Do we want to see God's work renewed in us? I hope that's our desire. But I want to let you know this morning it is your choice. And Kamala would kind of say, don't ruin it for the rest of us, okay? So make good choices. So I wonder this morning, what's the prayer of your heart? Is it similar to that of the prayer of Habakkuk? That God, that you would come and revive your work? This is another one of those troubling thoughts and questions here. Pastor, you're talking about renewal and revival. Well, I pray. I meet all those conditions. That's not me. That's somebody else who needs all that. Well, if you're thinking that this morning, it is you. You can still shake your heads. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24 shares with us, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I wondered this morning, do we have the courage to pray a prayer like that? I hope we do. In fact, I'm going to ask us to stand this morning, and Rhea Don's going to come, and Lana and Brian, and they're going to share a song of invitation with us. But today, would we have the courage to come and pray a prayer such as that? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.